May the Lord be pleased to help us all here this morning, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn with me to where we read in the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. But I'll read again from the beginning of the chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In this portion of John's Gospel that we have read together this morning, we see Jesus beginning to prepare his disciples for that time when he would leave them. We read those verses in the 13th chapter. Now is the Son of Man glorified, God is glorified in him. And as he carries on through those verses that we read together, he begins to explain to them that he will be leaving them. And if you can step into the shoes of those disciples for a moment, those men that had lived alongside Jesus, had grown to love Jesus. It was a time of natural distress for them and trouble for them. They were confused and they did not fully understand where Jesus was going. And that is why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But in this verse that we hope to look at this morning together, Jesus is explaining to these disciples that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to his Father. He is the way to heaven, to glory, to those many mansions. And so as the Lord may help us to open up this verse this morning, we will really just go through this verse in the logical progression of it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what it means to come unto the Father through Christ. And so this morning, we are all in a way. We are in the journey of life. And as we have varying footpaths and routes near us, we have the South Downs Way. It is a way from one place to another. And every one of us this morning are in the way of life. And you young children and young people here this morning, in the first part of the journey of life, you have a multitude of ways to take. But as you grow up, as you make decisions, or as decisions are made for you, You maybe get to your GCSEs. You have to choose A-levels. And those choices will shut doors for you. As you may go from A-levels to a degree, more doors will shut. As you may then think about marriage, more doors will shut. And as you go through life, more and more and more doors shut. And the way, as it were, gets narrower and narrower and narrower. Until the day of our death, where there is but two ways. The way to heaven and the way to hell. But if you can trace that back in your mind this morning and look forward to that time when you'll be on your deathbed, you've got two doors with one destination. And all the way back down, there are those little branches, those little roots. And so this morning, you're in the way. But are we in the way that leads to bliss? The right way? Or are we in the way that leads to death? So, what does it say in this verse? Jesus said unto Thomas, and he says unto each of us here this morning, I am the way. But what does that mean? What does that mean, I am the way? There is only one way to be reconciled to a holy God. You and I, whether we fully understand it or not, have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know, don't we, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through the way. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We read also elsewhere, don't we, there is one mediator between God and men. Who? The man, Christ Jesus. Do you know this man? The God-man? Do you know what it is to trust in him? To be made right at the day of your death? Do you know what it is to trust in his precious blood that alone can cleanse us from all our sin? This is the way. Are you ever thankful for the gospel that we have? Where the way is clearly set before us. Because you turn to the first part of your Bible and the Old Testament, the way to some was made clear through faith, but it was through everything that foreshadowed Christ. It was through those images of the temple, of the sacrifices, of the priesthood. All these things pointed to the way. But you and I, dear friends, we have it clearly set before us. The miraculous birth of our Saviour, his perfect life and obedience, his sacrificial death, his amazing resurrection, his ascension on high, his work now at the right hand of his Father. We see the way. But are we trusting in that way? Is that the way we are looking to? Because there are many false ways. And maybe you're in one of those false ways this morning. Maybe you're in the way of trying to work your way to heaven. We We read, don't we, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But how many are found in that way of trying to work our way to heaven? And it may not be in the Roman Catholic way where where they believe that we are justified by faith and works. But you know what the devil will try and tell you? You're too bad. If you can stop yourself from committing this sin, then maybe you're in the way. If you can cleanse yourself of this idol and that idol and the other idol, then you'll be fit to be in the way. That's a religion of works, dear friends. Because in that, what are we reliant upon? We are reliant upon us purging ourselves of this sin and that sin and the other sin to get in the way. Dear friends, we are saved wholly and solely by the grace of our God through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And when we are led, like the Apostle Paul, to cry, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Knowing that we have no power, however hard we try to cleanse ourselves from our own sin and make ourselves right, and we are led to fall upon the mercy and grace of Christ, that's the way. And that's the only way that will lead to peace. So maybe you're in that way this morning. You've tried. And you've done what the lines of that hymn say. You've sinned and you've stumbled. Yet the more, till what? Till late we hear the Saviour say, "Come hither, soul. I am the way." That's the only way, dear sinner. It's the only way. It is not through your works. We could preach about the works that will flow from your salvation, and it is right, there will be that which flows from your salvation. But that's another sermon for another time. The false way of good works. But there's another false way which many may be in. The false way of religious observance, where we are just content with ticking the boxes of attending to this service and looking the part. That's not going to save us. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy names have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Dear friends, none of us are saved by our upbringing. None of us are saved by wearing the right things and doing the right things in an outward sense. We are saved by Christ, the living way. Our religious observance is of no saving merit. "I am the way," Jesus said. But there are many these days that are in the way of there being one God, which there is, but many ways to that God. Where people will say, "Well, what, don't Hindus believe in a God and Muslims believe in a God and every other religion believe in a God, and it's just the way we choose to get to that God?" Dear friends, Jesus is the way. All other ways are false ways. Jesus is the way. And the clear distinction between Christianity and all other religions is this, isn't it? Jesus came down to be a man. Jesus came down to our level. And every other religion has to work their way up to God. Jesus said, "I am the way. But maybe you're trying to find your own way. Still trying to find your own way. Trying to balance this and balance that in your life and basically sit on the fence and have the best of both worlds. I often think of those words of Elijah to those that gathered round those sacrifices. And the prophets of Baal, they could not draw down their God. And he said, didn't he, that dear man, how long halt ye between two opinions? You know, are we halting between this opinion and that opinion? Unwilling to be in the way, because actually we're quite liking this way. We're quite liking the way of the world, and we are unwilling to take up our cross and to follow him. We're unwilling to get rid of this and that and the other and forsake it and follow him, dear friends. Have we got any halters here this morning? Unwilling to follow him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dear friends, this is the way. In that beautiful last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the way. That one who has been made sin for us. It's set forth beautifully. I think I've probably already quoted part of that hymn, but in hymn 5:4-3, Jesus is the narrow way. Jesus is a humble way. Jesus is the way of strength. Jesus is the way of peace. You know, in that hymn we have, don't we, clearly set before us the way. Before we move on to the next point in our text, are you trusting in Christ alone? Is that your only hope? Is that the way you are in? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. But he also says, doesn't he, I am the truth. Why did he say that? Well, Jesus reveals God's nature. We have that in the early verses of John's Gospel, don't we? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am the way and the truth. We are told many things are true, but in the world we live in, it is so hard to know, isn't it, what is true and what is false. One person will say one thing, one person will say another. You will read conspiracy theories about this, that and the other, and they're backed up by this evidence and that evidence, and you know, they sound plausible, they sound right, and they sound correct. We see it with our politicians, don't we? They say something and then their message subtly shifts and changes over time. We've seen it in recent weeks with our government, haven't we? Always talking about growth in the economy, and we are so keen to make the economy grow. And now, as the economy is not growing, they shift the language to speak about increasing living standards, and subtly the message is changing. But the gospel doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. What does he say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you and I are led to trust in him, and in this way, it brings a stability, doesn't it? It brings a stability. Why? because no one else can rest upon this unchanging truth of God's word. You and I can make promises to each other, and we can do our utmost to keep those promises, but we might not be able to. Every single promise that God has ever made will never change and will be kept. Oh, what a comfort in the way. The doctrines of grace that we have set before us, nothing can change them. Nothing can change them. The truth of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us. And dear friends, do you value the Word of God? Do you value the Bible? Do you value the unchanging truth of it? And that those verses that have been blessed to you, those verses that have been blessed to many generations throughout the history of time, they're still the same. They will always be the same. Nothing can change the glorious truth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the more we understand the truth of Christ, it will have an effect upon us. Jesus said later on in John 17:17, didn't he? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the more we are in the word, the more we are brought to know the truth of God's word, it will have that sanctifying effect upon us. That effect that will change us, mould us, conform us, enable us to grow. It's only the truth that will do it. And it's not my experience that will do it. It's not the experience of any other man that will do it. The only thing that will do you good in the way is the truth of God's word. The truth of Almighty God. The truth of our Saviour. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are all spiritually dead without the life of Christ. There is only one way to life, and that is in Him. Those early verses in Ephesians 2, part of which we have already quoted, you hath he quickened or brought to life who were dead in trespasses and sins. All of us have been, or maybe still are, some of you, in that dead path, that dead way. But have we known the quickening power and influence of the Holy Spirit making us alive? Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. And then we have, don't we, a but God. A but God who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, has brought us to life, together with Christ. By nature we are spiritually dead, and without that life, without that miraculous work of regeneration, where we are born again, there is no hope for any. But dear friends, he has had mercy on whom he will have mercy. He has quickened those whom he will quicken. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Christ's life, it gives purpose to our life. And it is, as we know of one and another, that are taken from time to eternity. And those that we know and love who have been removed, and may we hope, or we believe, assuredly, they are now in glory above. You know, if we can picture where they are, and if we have that same hope and assurance ourselves through the truth of God's word, does it not give purpose to our life? Because we're not just looking to the next fad, the next quick fix to get pleasure and to gain comfort. We're looking long term. We're looking to those eternal realities. We are looking through Jesus, through his life, with purpose in our life, to that life which is to come. And if you and I, dear friends, by God's grace are enabled to live more and more with that eternal perspective, we'll be a happier people. We'll be a more settled people. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to be in great trial and difficulty in his life, and yet he knew what it was to look forward. Think of those words at the end of 2 Corinthians 4, where he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," he had life in him. "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And he had that eternal perspective. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Where were his eyes drawn? We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This was the purpose of the Apostle Paul's life after he was born again. Because he knew the life of Christ in him. And he then had that eternal perspective. "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So this last part of this verse, why come unto the Father? Why? Well, we sang it, didn't we, in that first hymn. Because in coming to the Father through Christ, dear friends, mourning souls can dry up your tears, banish all your guilty fears, see your guilt and curse removed, cancelled by redeeming love. But that second verse was the one that stuck with me. "Ye who see the Father's grace beaming in the Saviour's face, as to Canaan on you move, praise and bless redeeming love. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in coming to the Father, we see his grace. We see his love. We see, don't we, reconciliation. Because without that redeeming love, without the work of Jesus Christ, we are enemies with God. We are enemies with God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes or at one time were far off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. This is what it means, doesn't it? This is what it means to come unto the Father. It's no longer a fearful, judgmental God who will punish us eternally. But through Christ Jesus we are reconciled. We have that peace with him. We are, as Paul describes in Romans 8, we are adopted into his family. We are brought into union with him. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a thought. That through Christ, who is the way, the truth and the life, we are the children of God. Those of us that have been favoured to have children, and well, we've all been children, haven't we? You know what it is to know, or well, we hope we all have known, the love of a father. A father that cares. A father that protects. A father that chastens, tells us off when we need to. But a father who is always looking out for us. Dear friends, through Christ, this is what it means to come unto the Father. That there is one that is ordering everything for our good. And although at times, as we may look at this evening, at times we may question the Father's love and may be troubled by it, he's in control. And if we, through Christ, are his children, what a comfort. What a comfort. But do we have that relationship with God our Father? Do we spend that time speaking to him in prayer? Worshipping him as we are ordered to do in his word? And will do when we know that true love. Spending that time in his family. But through Christ, dear friends, we have that access, don't we, to the Father. Through Jesus, the Son of God. And those words in the end of Hebrews 4, they are so precious to a sinner, aren't they? You and I can come to a holy God because we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, the way, the truth and the life. And Jesus, the Son of God, is not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he came down to be a real man. And he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we can come boldly unto him. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace this morning. Every one of us. Through the way, the truth and the life. We can come unto the Father, through our great and merciful High Priest. But dear friends, as we draw our thoughts more to a conclusion this morning, does this motivate you this morning? When you know of others that do not know the way, do not know the truth, and do not know the life that is found in Christ. Because we read, don't we, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And maybe there are those of in our family that we believe are lost, that are not in the way, do not know the truth or the life in Christ. Does it trouble you? Because when we see one or another taken, or whose life has ended, and we fear that they know nothing of a precious Christ, and we must therefore assume that they are now not in the Father's house, but are now in the devil's grasp, does that give us that motivation, that zeal in prayer and in action for those we fear are lost? Dear friends, it should. It should trouble us. You know, we look at this town here
We look at this nation as a whole. We look at this season of the year where it is called Christmas, but there is very little Christ in it. So we need to ask ourselves, don't we? Am I in the way? Do I know the truth? Do I know the life? Do I know what it is to come unto the Father? So those unbelievers that may be here this morning, we come unto the Father through a precious Christ. We come with nothing. Nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. It's the only way to come unto the Father. May you, if you know nothing of the way, the truth and the life, be drawn by his irresistible grace to come unto him. And those that have known the way and are in the way, may you be assured that the way doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. His truth doesn't change. He cannot change. May you find rest and trust in these words this morning. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in the lines of that hymn, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Thomas and those disciples were troubled. They were troubled because everything was uncertain in their lives. May we have the certainty of Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.